Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Architect by Lonnie Ree. Narrated by Tyler Darby and Megan Kelly. Chapter 1. Lynch. Cowboy walks in the door, rubbing his tired red eyes.
Fuck! I need sleep. Pregnancy hormones have turned my wife into a wild woman. I flip off the smug asshole. As one of the happily snagged brothers, he loves to rub in the fact that he's got a wife and family at home.
Suck my cock, I growl without much heat.
Don't you wish? Cowboy sits at the table across from me and argues with Giant while we wait for Cash, our president, to show up. The Silver Spoon MC isn't your typical motorcycle club. We're a group of well-educated, wealthy friends who decided to combine our love of motorcycles with our desire to use our wealth to help others. When we formed this MC, the little city of Silver Spoon Falls called to every one of us, and that's how the Silver Spoon MC was born. Landon Cowboy Rickman's family has owned the Silver Spoon Ranch for generations. All the brothers chipped in and bought the land surrounding the gorgeous, isolated spread to build our clubhouse. As one of the most sought-after architects in the U.S., I stepped in to design the MC's clubhouse. The large, two-story building complements the structures on the Silver Spoon Ranch. The brothers all have private residences in Silver Spoon Falls, but we each maintain a living area in the clubhouse, too. The club inherited a middle-aged biker and his old lady, Ruli and Gloria, with the property. They keep the clubhouse running smoothly and the brothers in line. Ruli is also our president's PA. Like I said, not your typical anything. Between our MC duties and our busy careers, none of us have ever had much of a dating history until recently, when my brothers started dropping like flies. Jason, Cash Montoya, the club president and CEO of his family's investment bank, was Cupid's first victim. After he met and fell for Hadley, the dominoes began to fall at an alarming rate. Our club VP, Tate Hans Grimes, a busy pediatric surgeon, snagged a beautiful wife and her infant niece. He saved the baby's life, married his woman, and adopted her orphan niece, all in a matter of months. Before long, Cowboy, Playboy, Bender, and Fifth were also shackled for life. The love explosion in Silver Spoon Falls hit my own family when Seth Hartley, a former Navy SEAL, moved to town and started romancing my sister. It didn't take long for the members to realize there's something up with the water in Silver Spoon Falls. Love is blooming for everyone around me, and I feel like the odd man out. Don't get me wrong, I couldn't ask for more out of life, but I still feel like something is missing. Something important. I'm insanely jealous of my MC brothers and my new brother-in-law, and terrified that I'm broken and unable to find the perfect one.
Don't even start your I'm so happy and sexually satisfied shit.
Cormac Giant Carmichael walks into the room and drops into the leather chair at the end of the table.
Keep all that gushy bullshit to yourself.
He rolls his eyes at me before giving Cowboy his most intense, don't fuck with me glare. If you're jealous, Cowboy shrugs, daring our brother, the massive 6'8" security expert, to kick his ass, then drink some of the water. The townsfolks believe there's something in the water causing all the love connections, but I don't believe in superstition.
The Silver Spoon Falls special water has already claimed its next victim.
Cash strolls in and sits at the head of the table. Hacker won't be here tonight. That's odd. Finn Hacker Taylor, our level-headed computer expert, never misses church.
He's been spending a whole lot of time at Gatsby Books, and the fucker doesn't ever seem to buy a single book. I'm betting there's a beautiful woman causing his new interest in reading material.
Fuck me. All the signs are there. Another brother is on his way to biting the dust.
Speaking of beauties,
If you're looking for Spank Bank material, Declan Bender Valentine, our rock star brother, chimes in. I heard through the grapevine that there's a new hot as Hades English teacher at the high school. Aren't you a happily married man? I grumble. I'm fucking done with this conversation. Why are you keeping tabs on hot, eligible women in town? For you losers who need help, he shrugs. My wife met her at the bookstore last week. Bender adds, London thought she would be perfect for one of you lonely, surly assholes. Just because we're still free, I point between Giant and myself, doesn't mean we need help with our love lives.
You don't have love lives to help,
Cash reminds us before changing the subject to real club business. After church ends, I'm still feeling out of sorts, and something urges me to take a ride to town. Before I'm able to talk myself out of the crazy idea, I hop on my bike and head for Gatsby Books. Who gives a shit if I'm sticking my nose in Hacker's business? I want to see for myself what's distracting him. A round wooden sign with Gatsby Books carved in bright red letters hangs over the brick building that houses the bookstore and a new coffee shop. After parking in front of the business, I hop off and run my hand down the back of my neck. It's not too late to turn around and run, flashes through my mind, but I shake off the warning and stroll over to the heavy glass door. I step into the bookstore and realize it's much bigger on the inside than it appears. There are floor-to-ceiling bookshelves lining the first floor, and a loft that overlooks everything. Glancing down the first aisle, I see Hacker sitting at a round table, staring intently at the clerk behind the front counter. I'm about to walk over and give him shit about it when the front door opens behind me. I turn to see who's walking in and almost fall to my goddamn knees. Fucking crap on a cracker. She's spectacular. My eyes devour the curvy blonde as she walks straight to the front counter and begins talking animatedly to the clerk. She's tall and rounded in all the right places. The tight leggings hugging her perfect ass do little to conceal all her luscious curves, and my cock begins to harden in my dress pants. My fingers itch to wrap around her curvy hips and hold on tight while I'm fucking her into next week. There's no ignoring the intense hunger roaring through my soul. Everything around us disappears as I stare at my soulmate. What a fucking relief. I'm not broken. Rubbing my hand down my face, I realize I might have cracked under the stress of working 18 hours a day on the new Silver Spoon Falls library. Hacker's hand falls on my shoulder, and I turn to face him.
What the fuck are you doing here?
His whispered growl echoes around the rows of books. The same goddamn thing you're doing, I tell my brother and feel the big fucker stiffen next to me. When Mrs. Jackson leans out of an aisle and shushes us, Hacker points at the door. Follow me. We step out into the warm Texas evening, and my brother turns to me. Fucking explain what you're doing here. I wanted to see what or who has you so occupied that you can't be bothered with club business. It's bullshit, and I know it. Right now, things are running fairly smoothly, and Hacker always puts the Silver Spoon MC first. Finding my soulmate has really thrown me for a loop, and I'm acting like an asshole.
Bullshit,
he calls me out. Why did you really come here? I take a deep breath and shrug. I have no fucking idea. He points at the Park Avenue bar down the road. Let's go get a beer and discuss our women problems. What makes you think I have women problems? I ask him. If you stared at that new schoolteacher any harder, the entire bookstore would have erupted into flames. I guess that explains it. My curvy soulmate is the new beauty I've been hearing about all around town. You mean the way you were staring at the clerk? I remind my brother.
Touché, my friend, he sighs. I guess we both drank too fucking much of the Silver Spoon Falls water.
We end up sitting at the bar for an hour, discussing our out-of-left-field woman problems. Hacker promises to do a full investigation on my little love and keep an eye on her while I rearrange my schedule to allow time to woo my woman.
Chapter 2. Oakley.
Wow, that guy has the hots for you,
Scarlet whispers across the counter, and I glance over my shoulder to get a glimpse of the drop-dead gorgeous biker who's been staring at me since I walked in the door a few moments ago. I feel my blood heat as his dark brown eyes move over my body and quickly look away before he catches me staring back. This entire freaking town is filled with the hottest men I've ever seen. He does not, I argue with my new friend. Not like the other guy has for you. It's true. The tall, handsome biker has been in here watching Scarlet every time I've come in to see her over the last week or so. Scarlet is the only person I know in Silver Spoon Falls, except for my Aunt Tilly. I met her on my first trip to the local bookstore, and we've become fast friends. When I moved here 2 months ago to take a position teaching ninth grade English at Silver Spoon Falls High School, I had no idea what was in store for a quiet, shy virgin like me. Everywhere you look, there's male hotness. It's not fair to have all these stunning men around, and I'm on a male diet. Tired of living under my controlling parents' thumbs, I worked my rear off and graduated from college in 3 years. It wasn't easy, but I managed. The round-the-clock studying didn't leave me any time for dating, and I've pretty much avoided the opposite sex like the plague my entire life. Being a shy, overweight, awkward teenager didn't help the situation.
They're leaving,
Scarlet hisses under her breath, and I look up from the book I'm pretending to read to watch the two hot bikers walk out the door. The air suddenly shifts as they disappear from sight. That was freaking intense. Disappointment cuts through me as I turn back to the real reason I came into the bookstore today. I'll take this book. I hand Scarlet the historical romance I've been eyeing for a while. After finishing up my purchase, I head home. Moose will be mad at me if I don't take him for a walk soon. Walking up our front sidewalk, I hear Moose growling.
Stop whining. I'm making your dinner now. It's not like you're going to waste away,
Aunt Tilly grumbles to my impatient dog. Hi. I walk in and drop my bag on the table in the hallway. Moose runs over and dances at my feet, and I pick up my little chihuahua and give him a hug.
Were you a good boy today? It depends on your definition of a good boy,
Aunt Tilly laughs.
If you consider eating one of my pink house slippers and peeing on the rug by the door good, then he was a very good boy.
She shakes her head.
Moose!
I hold the small dog up to my face and give him my best disappointed glare.
You've been a bad boy. No puppy ice cream for you this week.
Even as I say the words, I know they're a lie. I can't deny my little furry friend anything. I let him down, and my little traitor runs right to the door and dances.
He's pulling a fast one on you,
Aunt Tilly laughs.
I just took him out 5 minutes ago.
Little stinker. We ignore him, and he finally gives up and pouts.
How was school today?
Aunt Tilly asks as I reach for a banana to snack on.
It's getting better,
I shrug.
Slowly,
very slowly. My teenage students are having a hard time taking orders from a new teacher just a few years older than them. I turn to my mother's younger sister and smile.
How was your day? Did you get a bunch of orders out?
My aunt makes homemade organic candles and soaps. Her small online business has grown over the years, and she's gotten to the point that she might need to hire a couple of employees to keep up with all the orders.
I'm all caught up,
she smiles.
For a day or two.
It's never ending. She spends part of the week making the items, then the rest of the week filling hundreds of orders. Can I help you with dinner? I ask, but Aunt Tilly shakes her head.
I've got it covered. The roast is in the oven and everything else is ready. We have about an hour before dinner. Why don't you take Mr. I Lead a Hard Life out for a walk?
That sounds great. I'll run up and change clothes. I head for the door. When my little dog chases after me, I turn and tell him, I have a ton of papers to grade after dinner, so you're going to have to be a good boy. Yeah, right. The warm Texas air hits me in the face the second I step out the door. Moose ignores the heat and pulls me down the sidewalk. Wait up! I grumble, trying to keep up with him. Our daily walks consist of him tugging me around the block 3 or 4 times. That night, after I shower and lay in bed, sleep completely eludes me. Every time I close my eyes, I picture the smoking hot biker stare. When my alarm finally rings way the flip too early, I groan and roll over. Today will be just great, I grumble to myself. Running my hand through my bedhead, I pull myself together before dragging my tired body to the bathroom. Luckily, the week is almost over. Just today and tomorrow to go.
Chapter 3. Lynch. Hacker ends up coming through big time. By Friday, he has an entire report on my little love. Sitting back in my office chair, I can scan through the email from him. Oakley Jeanette Webb, 24 years old, from Miami, Florida. Graduated high school in Miami at 17 and college at 23. Moved to Silver Spoon Falls and lives with her aunt, Tilly Martin, 40, who owns Tilly's Treasures. Visits Gadsby Books at least 2 times every week. No arrests, no warrants on either woman, blah, blah, blah. Skimming through the rest of the document, I notice there's no mention of any men in her life. Good. Since I first laid eyes on her, my mind has been whirling. The beautiful schoolteacher reached into my chest and stole my heart on the spot, and I have no hope of ever getting it back. Now it's time for me to steal her heart in return. Ideas of how to approach her flash through my exhausted mind. 2 nights of zero sleep have left me on edge and unable to focus. My phone rings, interrupting my thoughts. Hello? I answer, seeing Cash's name flash across the screen. I heard through the grapevine that the Silver Spoon Falls water caught another victim. Fucking hell. Small-town gossip spreads faster than wildfires. And if it did? I'm not in the mood to play word games with my president. Poor bastard. He laughs. Just remember, it will all be worth it in the end. What will be worth it? I'm confused. I know Cash is head over heels in love with his wife. All the shit you're about to go through. No woman worthy of one of us gives in that easy. You, my brother, are about to jump through hoops. Many, many hoops. He laughs and hangs up before I'm able to process his statement. That night, I can't resist the urge to see her any longer. I sit on my bike outside Gadsby Books waiting for her to come by. At 6:47, I admit defeat. The shop closes in 13 minutes, and my girl hasn't been in yet. I guess I'll have to jump through one of the hoops Cash mentioned and go find Oakley. After parking at the end of the road, I sit on my bike for a few minutes and debate my options. Fuck. I'm turning into a fruitcake stalker like Hacker. Oh well, might as well go all the way. Movement out of the corner of my eye catches my attention. I turn to see the object of my obsession being pulled down the road by a little furball. As they approach, I step in their path and watch her stunning cornflower blue eyes widen. This close, I can see the green flecks floating in the sea of bright blue. Hello. I hold out my hand. I'm Rafe Sirocco. She blinks several times, and I'm expecting her to refuse. But Oakley takes a deep breath and smiles back. Oakley Webb. Our introduction is interrupted when the little ball of fluff growls and races over to attach his sharp little teeth to my ankle. My pants offer little protection from the attack, and his bite sends pain radiating up my leg.
Moose! Oakley gasps. Bad boy! Bad, bad boy!
She tries to pull him back, but her efforts only cause the little shit to sink his teeth in deeper. I reach down and grab him. After lifting the little beast up to eye level, I growl,
Be good.
Please don't hurt him,
my girl begs, causing my heart to turn over in my chest.
He didn't mean to hurt you.
I see the fear shining in her eyes and feel my anger at the furball disappearing. Glancing down at the dog in my hands, I shake my head. We need to teach you manners. But I'm glad you protect our girl so viciously. Oakley's mouth opens and closes silently, and I realize I just let her in on my obsession.
Excuse me?
Oakley reaches for the dog, and I let her take him from me.
Our girl?
She refuses to meet my eyes. Shyness is floating from her in waves, and I realize I need to take things slow and easy with her. I'm already in too deep to change course now. That's right. I step closer to Oakley and lift her chin so she's staring right into my eyes. We have a lot to talk about. Have dinner with me and we can get to know each other.
I have to take Moose home.
She bites her bottom lip. I see the indecision shining from her blue eyes.
I can meet you somewhere.
I'll wait and follow you to the Broadway Steakhouse. I would rather have her curvy body pressed against my back the entire ride, but I'll let her drive herself this one time.
Can we do the Fifth Avenue Diner instead?
Oakley asks.
I don't really feel like dressing up to go to dinner.
You are so fucking beautiful. You could wear a feed sack and be more stunning than any other woman in the steakhouse. But we can go anywhere that makes you happy. I tell her, somewhere between meeting my girl and today, I've lost my ability to act like a normal human being. One look at Oakley, and I turned into a hungry caveman, ready to do whatever it takes to win over my woman. Fucking Silver Spoon Falls water.
Chapter 4. Oakley. Did I wake up this morning in the Twilight Zone? First, the students were on their best behavior for the first time since the school year started. Then, Mr. Richardson, the principal, actually complimented me on a job well done without standing too close or making my skin crawl. My crazy day continued when I got home to find Aunt Tilly and Moose getting along. Now, I'm sitting in the Fifth Avenue diner across from the hottest man I've ever met, and he is looking at me like I'm going to be his dinner. I barely resist the urge to fan myself as the air around us heats.
I want to start this off right.
He smiles at me.
After you bowled me over in the bookstore the other day, I had my friend investigate you.
What? Investigate me? Why? Why would you do that? I need to know. This whole day has been crazy. Am I still sound asleep dreaming?
Because I wanted to know everything about my future wife.
Holy cow. Either he's crazy or I'm dreaming. The waitress walks up to take our orders, and I get a moment to pull myself together. After she walks away, Rafe reaches for my hand, and electricity flows through my nerve endings as his warm hand engulfs mine. I watch him bring it to his lips, and almost melt on the spot.
I know this is moving fast, but I've never felt like this before.
Can we slow down and get to know each other before you propose? I joke, but my heart flips over at the thought of this massive, handsome man on his knees at my feet.
Sure.
He smiles, and I wiggle in the seat. I'm not sure if it's the heat surging through my blood or the wetness soaking my underwear, but this man is affecting me in crazy ways.
What do you want to know?
Well, since you know everything about me, why don't you tell me about yourself? I manage to ask Rafe. He sits back in the booth and stares at me for a few seconds before shrugging.
I'm 37, an architect, a member of the Silver Spoon MC.
Rafe winks.
I have one sister, Quinn, who's married to an ex-Navy SEAL. My grandmother raised us after our parents died.
I try to absorb everything as he rattles it off.
My MC brothers call me Lynch since I'm originally from a small town near Houston called Lynchburg. I have a home here in Silver Spoon Falls and an apartment in Houston near my office. Oh, and the most important thing, I'm highly addicted to a beautiful little school teacher who stole my heart at first sight.
Well, now I know I'm in an alternate universe. Oh, is all I managed to mumble. This is all happening so fast. Great, now I sound like a flake.
It is happening fast.
He rubs the back of my knuckles.
But I'll give you time to catch up with me.
I'm not sure I need much time. My silly heart already belongs to the hot architect. By the time we finish our meal, I'm starting to relax in Rafe's presence. A tiny bit.
Do you have plans for the weekend?
He asks, and I almost choke on a sip of iced tea. Just the usual. Clean house, do laundry, and grade papers. I tell him, and realize how boring my life sounds.
Since you've never been on a bike, would you let me take you on a ride tomorrow afternoon? We could stop at the Silver Spoon Falls Riviera for a picnic.
I'm nodding my head yes before my brain sends a signal to refuse. After paying the bill, Rafe walks me to my car and takes my keys from my hand. He opens the driver's door before wrapping his massive hands around my face.
I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
His warm lips touch mine, and I see stars.
Drive carefully,
Rafe whispers before helping me into the seat. He reaches across me to grab the seatbelt, and I inhale his spicy masculine fragrance. Wow. As I pull away from the diner, I see Rafe pull out and follow me. Once I park in front of my house, I notice him stop across the street to watch me walk to the front door. I give him a little wave and step into the house.
How did your evening go?
Aunt Tilly is waiting in the living room with Moose curled up in her lap. I ignore his loud snores and drop into the recliner across from them. You won't believe this. I blurt out the entire story. My aunt's eyes narrow as she listens to my story. She's worried about how fast things are happening and makes me promise to introduce Rafe to her before we leave for our ride. After a long, hot shower, I drop into bed and find a message from Rafe.
Good night, baby. Dream of me.
Like I have any choice. The hot architect has taken over my mind and heart. Good night. See you tomorrow. I message back, then lay back to stare at the dark ceiling. Surprisingly, I fall asleep almost immediately and end up sleeping until 9 a.m. I have to rush through my Saturday chores, so I have time to get ready for my date with Rafe.
Chapter 5. Rafe. Oakley texted me earlier, letting me know her aunt wants me to meet before our date. I have no doubt that Tilly Martin is worried I'm pulling a fast one on her niece. Fuck. I knock on their front door and take a deep breath to calm myself.
Rafe.
My beautiful girl answers the door and smiles, causing my cock to turn to stone in my jeans.
Come in.
I follow her into the small cottage and see the other woman staring daggers at me.
I'm Tilly Martin, Oakley's aunt.
She doesn't even wait for her niece to introduce us. Rafe Sirocco. I hold out my hand to her.
Nice to meet you.
She doesn't respond. Instead, her icy blue eyes stare into mine. The little furball runs up and dances around my feet, letting me know I made progress with him.
Hi, Moose.
Bending over, I pick him up. Bitten any ankles lately? I give him a scratch behind his big ears.
So, Mr. Sirocco, what are your intentions toward my niece?
Tilly glares.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?